January 27th, 2014. This date will go down as one of the darkest days in recent pro wrestling history. This, of course, to those who don't know, was the day after WWE's Royal Rumble event of that year, where a man made his last ever appearance as an in-ring performer in that promotion. And on the following day, he decided to walk out on them for good. That man kept us all in the dark while he most likely pondered through his WWE run himself, figuring where the hell it all went wrong for him. Until he decided to break his silence and to jump on Colt Cabana's Art of Wrestling podcast in November of that same year, where he vented all of his frustrations throughout his entire WWE tenure from start to finish. From their issue with over-relying on part-timers and favoring those kinds of guys instead of full-timers such as himself, was not given the same pay and opportunities as those guys, discussed their crappy medical staff as they failed to properly diagnose a staph infection he had at the time that could have very well killed him, keep in mind. That he was basically held down his entire time down there by the likes of Vince, Triple H, and Stephanie McMahon. That man, of course, is CM Punk. Now, he has since went on to different ventures post his WWE career, though none of them really felt as though he was going all in on those ventures, if that makes any sense, like writing comic books for Marvel, and of course his own MMA career in the UFC, and we all know how the latter went for him down there. Yeah.
Dear Lord.
Seen as a laughingstock for wrestling and MMA fans alike.
One loss.
After losing his only two fights, although I believe the second fight was turned around. But that didn't exactly paint him in a positive light, coming out of that as well. Sometime later, he quote-unquote returns to WWE through their backstage late-night analysis show with Renee Young and other WWE talent. Though this was more Fox's acquisition, if you really think about it, not WWE themselves, so he wasn't really back with the promotion per se. Just a case of him interacting with the talent there. Then that whole thing ended not long after, and we'd hear murmurs of talks here and there about Punk signing on with what was, at the time, a brand new wrestling promotion on the scene called All Elite Wrestling. I think you guys have heard of something like that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course.
I think they're doing very well for themselves right now.
Very well? Shit.
And of course, up until now, I, and I'm sure a lot of people, including you guys, didn't believe these rumors when they first came about because it seemed like a pipe dream and nothing more. Though even I believed that it would have been something monumental were it to actually happen. Fast forward to yesterday, August 20th, 2021. This date will go down as an iconic day in pro wrestling history moving forward. According to the man himself, CM Punk has returned to professional wrestling. Last night on AEW Rampage, only the second episode of its kind, at the United Center in Chicago in front of AEW's largest crowd yet, at 15,000 fans screaming, we hear Cult of Personality blaring in the venue, and the crowd came absolutely unglued, and they got louder when he comes out before them. Punk takes his sweet time getting into the ring, savoring every moment, every step he took, looking out into the crowd, probably trying to keep himself from breaking down completely at any given moment. You can't even blame him for that. Finally gets into the ring and says he feels the electricity that his hometown was giving him right then and there. And then he sits cross-legged in the center of the ring and claims that he left pro wrestling when he left Ring of Honor in 2005. And on August 20th, 2021, he is back.
This was the greatest return ever. I don't care what anybody says. It was better than The Rock's return. It rivals any Stone Cold Steve Austin moment in the Attitude Era. It defeats Hulk Hogan turning heel in WCW. It trumps all of that. See, there was no place better than Chicago for him to return. Don't get me wrong. Any other place, if he returned, it would have been fire too. But there's something about Chicago with CM Punk that was heaven.
Not something, that's his hometown.
Yeah, the prodigal son returned, bro. Exactly.
I guess Roman's wrong. He's saying he wasn't a draw. The man by himself, without AEW saying the words of CM Punk, sold out 15,000 tickets for the United States.
Just based off reports.
Just based off reports.
That he may be coming back.
And it was all planned. That's how they did it. The worst kept secret ever.
Exactly.
All planned.
Perfectly this said.
CM Punk's return is so monumental. It brings me back to our conversation about AEW's lack of name recognition. They have it now. Let's get that out the way. They have it now. You got Omega, Moxley, Page, Punk. The tag team division has always been fire. Mm-hmm. The women's division is on the come up.
No, you got to put Britt Baker on
there.
He said notable names. Britt Baker. That's a household name.
What? Right, okay. Okay.
I'll say it.
Fine.
As Tara says, Oprah.
Fine. You know what? I'll leave that to Tara. You got to give. But AEW is here.
Yeah.
Okay?
New era.
New era.
Yeah. That's a...
WWE is in big trouble.
How long have we been saying that exact same thing?
I'm going to tell you... Let me explain. Let me explain.
No. Not to say that downplaying what the significance of that. Mm-hmm. I'm saying that we've been saying it for so long because... we've been just been waiting for a guy like Punk of his stature and caliber to finally stick it to the promotion and going to another in AEW.
To add on to what
and now we finally got it.
To add on to what you said, bro, CM Punk came in at the right time. Think about this, bro. Past 2 months, how much niggas that WWE just released? A shitload. A mountain.
A lot.
Right? A mountain. I know the three of us has been hearing rumors of Bray Wyatt, Bronson Reed, arguably Adam Cole, Daniel Bryan, etc.
Bryan Danielson.
Whatever.
He's the wrong
name. We know the amount of people that they've released is arguably or potentially will go to AEW. And CM Punk was just the cherry on top. Right?
Rampage has to be 2 hours because that.
To be honest with you, keep it as an hour. No. Look, who cares about Rampage right now?
Okay.
This is about Punk. Okay. This is about Punk. Okay.
You gonna have.
What I'm about to say right now, it might be eye opener.
Controversial.
But it could be controversial. Mm-hmm. But I think it's needed to be said.
Ooh.
What?
AEW will become a better version of the Attitude Era.
You got a lot of people in their 30s and 40s.
AEW will become
that's true.
AEW will become a better version than the Attitude Era. Better wrestling?
Yeah.
Without question. Better wrestling? Better entertainment? Arguably. Better entertainment? Better management? Better social media? You already know about social media.
Social media,
cool. And they know how to treat their wrestlers with respect.
Yeah.
Which is the most important part. And they take care of their stars. I'm a fan of the Attitude Era. Lived it. The greatest era in professional wrestling. However.
It had its flaws.
Tremendous.
The thing is this.
Not one era is perfect. Ruthless Aggression, Attitude of PG, no era is perfect.
But AEW picked from everywhere.
But exactly.
Took the best out of every period.
AEW. Yeah. Is on the verge of a total takeover. Forget the TNA partnership. That shit is gone. That shit is trash.
They still got big potential.
I don't think it is.
What?
I don't give a two shits about that partnership anymore.
Okay, great. I'm talking now. What about New Japan?
I was going to bring that up.
They're now promoting Tanahashi.
Yeah. So I was going to bring that up.
We have yet to see him.
I'm a fan of Tanahashi. That means legit, right? And I completely agree with you by New Japan. And this is the beauty of it. Because we already heard and confirmed Daniel Bryan's coming to AEW. Let's get that out of the way. Mm. Everybody knows that.
Rumors are it's going to be in that Queen show next month.
Right. We're going. We're going. But this is what I mean, bro. That's a better version of the Attitude Era. Obviously, you know, CM Punk's like Stone Cold Steve Austin. We agree there, right?
He is the closest thing.
He's the closest thing.
Name value, promo work.
Everything.
The personality?
Personality. The je ne sais quoi.
Exactly.
Right? But this is how Daniel Bryan could be not The Rock per se, but in terms of not The Rock, but he could be like their what's the word I'm looking for?
Shawn Michaels?
No, this like their Triple H, because they're Daniel Bryan. No, they don't. Got
Triple H.
No.
Miss Cody Rhodes. We got Triple H.
No. I'm not going to say Cody. Hear me out. I understand what you said. Completely.
Some slander.
But, completely. Yeah. But here's what I could say about Daniel Bryan. Daniel Bryan's more inviting than Cody Rhodes.
In terms of what?
Wrestling.
Inviting.
That's true.
In terms of wrestling.
In terms of wrestling. He said invite. They got a whole show.
In terms of wrestling alone. In terms of wrestling alone.
Yes,
I love Cody Rhodes. He ain't on Daniel Bryan's level. All due respect to Cody Rhodes. In ring work, he's not on. He's not on his level. And that's what I like about what you brought up about New Japan, bro.
Slow under.
Daniel Bryan could invite folks that he, because he wanted the folks from he wanted to work with New Japan along with AEW. He signed with AEW, so he could sign with New Japan. But with Daniel Bryan becoming the sole representative as AEW to bring in talent from New Japan to the States.
Absolutely.
That changes everything.
But that's already happened. We have a lot of New Japan guys.
No. We're talking about the main players, nigga. The main dogs. So that's saying, what we're talking about.
Saying Ospreay's not the main. Maybe you forgot who are the main dogs right now in New Japan. I know you think Tanahashi, Okada. But those main dogs, it's literally Ospreay.
Jay White. Still up there?
Huh?
He is.
He came in. He's in TNA. Right.
They're both in. Because Impact's right now using New Japan a little bit more because they can't put them on AEW right now.
No, I get it. I'm not saying like those guys are trash that you met because they're not. I'm talking about the main guys. Like I'm talking about the guy that represents New Japan. They could come to the States.
It's only two more. It's only Okada and
Ibushi.
And that's the big one right there. Yeah. Bring that man in, Kota Ibushi. It's a wrap. Yeah. It's a wrap. He's the greatest Japanese star I've ever seen in God's eyes. My eyes.
God's.
Okada wanted Bushi too, but yeah.
He's the greatest Japanese star I've ever seen.
I gotta go Okada.
I mean, it's okay. There's something wrong
with that. There's nothing wrong with that.
We're fine.
But I'm like, Lord have mercy. I'm so bullish just thinking about this. CM Punk saved AEW's for life. I'm sorry. For life. Now, WWE, you better pull something out of your ass.
They can't pull nothing. What else can they pull?
Listen, they could do something last minute with SummerSlam tonight. And we're going to get to that.
I'll save my comments for that later.
Yeah, we're going to get to
they
that.
They said they got surprises. Maybe what, Brock?
I'll save my comments for that later.
But even they came out themselves, presumably, and said, I don't know if they're going to stick to it. I doubt it, considering who's on top there. Mm-hmm. But they came out and said themselves that, hey, we're not going to be focused trying to top CM Punk.
They're not, because they can't.
On AEW. And you know the reason why they didn't want Punk back? They didn't even bother with him to get him to sign with them again. Because they feel that Punk's name has been greatly diminished coming off of his MMA run. Nobody's interested as much as he was post.
I'm guessing those 15,000 fans.
Pre UFC, yeah.
Yeah, get those 15,000 fans out of nowhere. But I'm going to take it a little bit different how Punk's influence can help out. Go back to what he said last night, and I think that was the most important thing. He kept iterating the young guys, the young guys.
Exactly. Young guys. Yep, that's a big deal.
Mm-hmm. He wants to work with the young guys. He says, I got a lot of young guys in the back. WWE doesn't have that. All their guys are in their
they don't 30s. Have that. They lost that.
They've lost that. They either fired them or I don't think Punk wants to work with 20-something-year-old Dominic. I'm sorry. Listen, Dominic is not Darby Allin.
I feel that the last time they really gave a damn about pushing the younger guys and the new generation over the old ones.
That was
it wasn't an overly long period of time. Yeah. Was Punk and Bryan.
I agree with that.
Those were the two.
I agree with that.
Potential megastars that they could have had as successors to guys like Cena and Orton and Lesnar.
Those are the guys that you point to, like, yo, these guys are the ones to help the young guys.
But they messed them up so badly that it was never going to happen at that
point. And AEW might get both by September 5th.
Exactly. By the New York showy. But yeah.
But hey, yeah, pushing those young guys now is confirmed. Darby versus
Punk. CM Punk called out Darby Allin last night in that same promo.
Yes.
With Sting, him and Sting all the way up in the rafters in the venue. Great visual, by the way. Punk looking up at them. Oh, and he challenged them. It was amazing.
It was amazing.
All Out is must see
television.
But the match I can't wait for is Punk versus MJF. That is going to be.
I'm shaking your hand because I completely agree with
because
that.
Because I know a lot of people like saying MJF is not. MJF is. He's one of the most brilliant heels that we have today.
So yeah, I always say this. Possibilities are endless with what they with CM Punk in the palm of their hands, AEW. How they're gonna, what the buy rate will be for the All Out show in a few weeks.
150,000.
150,000?
Guaranteed.
That's a good, actually no, that's a pretty good estimate.
Yeah.
It's gonna be one night stand level of buys and I think it's excitement. I'm not gonna lie to you, just by CM Punk. CM Punk's name being on it.
It's going to be the highest buy rate we've seen for a wrestling pay-per-view in forever.
Don't be surprised if that match opens. I still think the main event is going to be Christian and Omega, but that match is going to open between Darby and CM Punk.
To be fair, I get what you're saying. I don't think it would be a good precedence if they they have Punk and Darby main event the show.
No.
Like, I understand the thinking behind it, but I don't think it's going to benefit... I don't think it's going to benefit their perception, I don't think. By having, an old... Well, I don't want to say it like that, because Punk is rejuvenating, so...
My man is hyped.
Exactly. And the fact... And all those shots he threw at WWE...
I love it. Wait. I want to add something.
He threw undisclosed shots.
I want to add something.
But it was so obviously intended.
It was so... Yeah, it was, like, so obvious. It was... I love what he said the last time when he felt that he cared about professional wrestling was in Ring of Honor.
Yep.
And that shows a lot of what WWE is as a whole. Because I don't care what type of legend you are. Austin, Taker, Triple H, Michaels, Rock, Cena. I do not care. Punk belongs in that group of the guys I just mentioned. In terms of main events,
Status,
thank you.
Megastars,
yes.
It was.
They can't tell me that they shitted on CM Punk without question. Because they love Vince to the death. But
wait, you're saying that WWE... If people say WWE messed up Punk...
I'm saying, like, if guys like that say that WWE hasn't shitted on Punk, or like what you said, Vince hasn't, paid attention to Punk or doesn't give two shits about Punk. It shows how lackluster your product has been as of late. It shows how dismissive you are to superstars. Hell, you just let go over like close to 50 or 60 guys
yeah.
alone yep. in a matter of 2 months.
Exactly. And some of them were pretty damn baffling.
Yeah.
Bronson Reed, dude, he could have been like... I've always seen Reed as like a Keith Lee to me.
You know, I completely agree with you on what you said, but you know what I would have done to Bronson Reed? I would have added him to the bloodline with Roman Reigns because he's Samoan and Australian. He fits in that bloodline.
Is Samoan?
He's Samoan and Australian.
I knew the Australian part.
Yeah, he's Samoan.
Wow.
Okay. Look him up. He's Samoan.
Okay.
Right? I was like, if you put Bronson Reed with Roman Reigns and the Usos, I'm like, he's perfect.
These are heavy.
You need that muscle in every group. Bronson Reed's athletic. Bronson Reed's a badass. Bronson Reed knows how to wrestle. He can't talk worth a damn. Don't get me wrong. That's why you got Paul Heyman. But that's neither here nor there. Bronson Reed
doesn't need to talk.
Yeah, no, like I said, you got Paul Heyman. But like, I always felt like there's something missing.
He's talking, right? Tongan? Who? Bronson.
No. He's not even in WWE.
No, I'm saying...
No, what I'm saying is, bro, is that, like, I feel like if the amount of stars that WWE did not release, including people like Bronson Reed, who I'm a fan of.
Yeah.
I'm a fan of Bronson Reed.
He's nice.
I was like, yo, he could have fit into the bloodline with Roman Reigns because he's Samoan and he's Australian. And I feel like they needed a mid-carder badly for SmackDown. And I think Bronson Reed would have been perfect for them. For the IC title, and you got the Usos attack team, and obviously you got Roman Reigns. But... Talking about, besides all that, CM Punk has changed the game for wrestling.
Amen. A new era arises
period.
In all Elite Wrestling and wrestling, period.
Yep.
WWE, good luck.
No. They don't need luck. You need prayer. You need to go to church. You need to go to therapy. I do not care what anybody says. WWE is in big trouble. No matter what they do, it will not trump. Nothing will trump what happened last night. Nothing.
It's like I said, if you ain't talking, I ain't watching.
You're listening to Wrestling Hypothesis. Bro.
The first lady.
I don't know if I'm ready for this.
You want a tissue?
I don't know.
At the end of the day, no matter how you want to look at it, you want to look at it sideways, you want to look at it from the top, the bottom, it doesn't matter. There are levels to this.
Well, welcome us back, everybody. Episode 72 of the Wrestling Hypothesis podcast, here for your Saturday, August 21st, 2021.
The deadbeat dads are back. We came back from the store. Whoa. Got some milk.
Stop.
No. The deadbeat dads are
first
back.
Of all, we told that's you. That's not what we agreed on, man.
First of all, I'm not a parent. I was not a parent.
I'm a parent of cat. I have cats.
I'm more kid than parent, bro.
Exactly.
We said we'll be back eventually. We're going. We went to the store.
Anyway, Abba, how you doing, man? I'm shaking your hand right now.
Thank you, Ricardo.
Lawrence, hello. With your crazy hey. Ass.
What's up, everybody? What's up?
The big three is back before you guys.
I like the handshake. What was that? What was that?
Yeah.
You'll be okay.
I gave Ricardo my man's handshake. Yeah. This is... Yeah. No,
Lawrence. No, you're going to give me that.
I don't want to.
You're going
to
give me that.
I don't want to.
Thank you. Thank you. All right, I know. Right.
Happy, big wrestling news going down. So,
oh, really?
Not yeah. much.
Really?
Yeah. Just CM Punk.
I thought confirmed. It was pretty uneventful. You know.
Yeah.
You know, forget what we just discussed.
Mm-hmm. You know. At the yeah. Episode, you know, if we end the show right now, there's nothing wrong with that.
Exactly. But that's not what we're gonna do. We're actually gonna continue on, trudge along. We have plenty of stuff to get into.
But to be honest with you, if you really think about it, if we really do end the show,
we're just good like that.
Pretty much.
That's exactly what you both want. Right.
Nah, but let's go.
Yeah, let's do it. We still got a whole bunch of stuff to get into. TakeOver 36 tomorrow night. The SummerSlam later tonight. There's a whole lot of subtopics to get into with those two events this weekend. But before anything else, as you guys know, this podcast is available to listen to on various different platforms out there, such as Spotify, iTunes, Anchor, Breaker, Radio Public, Google Podcasts, and our very own YouTube channel we have over on that platform. Go ahead, give us a subscribe, check out our channel for more bonus content that is coming your guys' way, reviews, etc. Be sure to follow us on our social media accounts as well, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, what have you, where we often report breaking news that comes out in wrestling. Yeah, there was pretty big news that came out, you know, yesterday, last night in Rampage. And we let you listeners know the updates on the status of the show throughout the course of the week, so give us a follow on those accounts. Be sure to do that. If you're listening using the iTunes platform, you can leave us a star rating on there as well as some thoughts on what you think of our show. Any feedback, I always say this, guys, is appreciated on our end. And lastly, you can check out any of our older episodes back in the archives using any of the platforms I mentioned earlier, as well as visiting our own website, anchor.fm/wrestling-hypothesis. Let's get into it with the rest of the show, guys. First things first, we're going to go through one of two events taking place this weekend, and that is tomorrow night's NXT TakeOver event, TakeOver 36. Will be taking place, of course, tomorrow night, like I said, back in the Capitol Wrestling Center, which is where they have aired and taped
Jesus
at the entirety of the pandemic up to this point, which is a huge shame considering they have had the option to tour around and host their shows in different cities in much larger venues. But I guess that won't be happening, at least this time around.
NXT's dead.
Oh, yeah, we're going to get into that whole debacle once we're done
NXT
with the predictions.
NXT TakeOver.
Here.
Maybe. We all know.
Yeah, that's not even a far-fetched statement at all, man.
Mm-hmm.
There's a whole lot of truth to that, which we'll get into in a little bit, that whole thing. And speaking of which, just to bring up some miscellaneous news regarding to NXT itself, the brand, they have apparently severed ties with Full Sail University, which has been their home going back to 2012 when they first became a developmental brand.
Mm-hmm.
So
there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, because they
had to move.
CWC.
They had to move.
They built the CWC, so you might as well. Eh.
Yeah. I guess, but if I had to pick between the two, man, Full Sail was something to it, man.
It was special.
It was like a whole energy.
There's nothing wrong. Like, don't get me wrong.
CWC doesn't really give it.
Don't get me wrong. Full Sail University was fire. It always came up to par. But the only reason I'm saying this is that, like, you need a new place of venue. That's all I'm saying.
Well, that's true.
You need a new place of venue. You can't really stay at the same place all the time, for a good amount of years. And plus, Full Sail University is in Florida, aka COVID Central. Okay, so you might want to move. That's why.
Well, CWC is in Florida.
Florida, yeah.
So I guess they just want to stick around in one area of the world.
They've been in Florida so many years, going dating all the way back to FCW. So they've been doing it. Yeah.
So the way they'll be doing it this time around will be that the main roster show is taking place first in this weekend, followed by the NXT TakeOver show. A first time they've done this since it's always been the other way around, mm-hmm. with TakeOver on Saturdays and, you know, the big main roster show the following Sunday. Obviously, we're going to finally address the huge corporate elephant in the room with NXT right after we go over the predictions. So let's get into it real quick. Uh-huh. Walter against Ilya Dragunov.
Ilya.
For the UK Championship. Oh, okay.
Ilya. Okay. It's time, because I think Walter already said that he might be dabbling in some main roster juices.
I guess
he might be dabbling.
He changed his tunes.
You know, money changes everybody.
That's true.
And plus, it's time. It's time for him. Thing is this, Europe is great, but the WWE killed the European scene. They literally took
everything. With NXT UK, signing all those names, killing them off, the smaller promotions.
They closed all those promotions up. Like, at this point, you might as well.
Pandemic didn't help. The whole, the Me Too movement?
Yeah, and...
As well, they kind of exposed everybody.
And the main roster needs star. They need presence. So, Walter definitely brings that. So, you are going to see Ilya Dragunov win the UK title.
I'm going to go a different route. I think Ilya is time for him to win. Mm-hmm. It'll be an amazing match, just like last year mm-hmm. when they faced off in NXT UK. But I feel Walter will be transitioning not to the main roster, but to NXT proper.
Okay.
More so.
That's true.
Because he's one of the bigger guys, keep in mind, and on par with what we're going to be discussing later as well.
I agree.
Regarding the future of the brand.
I agree with Abba. Because NXT right now, the main NXT, is in dire need of stars, arguably more than the main roster.
Yeah.
Arguably.
But we all also have to see what this new change that's coming up.
But
Walter fits the criteria.
He does.
What I'm saying is NXT doesn't have main event stars. They don't have it at all. Gargano's done. Gargano, Ciampa,
aged.
I'm saying they're finished. They're finished.
Not finished.
They're finished.
Well, they're finished in the WWE system.
They're finished. Their time in NXT is over.
Yeah, it's been over 5 years. 5 years.
It's over.
It's like, what else can you do with them?
Yeah, it's over.
That's interesting.
All right, but either A, retire them, or B, give them the longest vacation for God knows when. Right, it's back. Over.
Cut them loose.
You
That's
need
it. Let them go somewhere else.
What NXT is doing right now, they need to bring. I agree with Abba. Put Walter in the main NXT show and see what happens. That's what I would do.
I agree. But if for that to happen, Dragunov should win this
match. Oh, and yes, I didn't get my pick. Dragunov would win, yes.
But it's going to be an amazing match. Mm-hmm. I really hope so. If it comes anywhere near close to their match last year in October, it'll be a success. So I can't wait. LA Knight versus Cameron Grimes for the $1 million title. If Grimes loses, Ted DiBiase must be Knight's butler as well.
Cameron Grimes.
Yeah, Grimes will be getting that long anticipated win.
Cameron Grimes is one of the, even though I haven't watched NXT in a while, but I know Cameron Grimes is one of the best acts going right now.
In WWE, period.
He's been on fire.
That's
some people might not like it, but he's really been that good. You got to give the man his respect. So I'm going Cameron Grimes.
Same. Grimes should win.
I'm guessing he's whatever.
Yeah, I look, you don't give two shits about Cameron Grimes. I don't find him appealing.
I mean, he's not everybody's cup of tea.
I don't find him appealing. So
Raquel Gonzalez versus Dakota Kai, NXT Women's Title. Dakota Kai has been by Raquel's side since Raquel's debut for NXT last year, but now Gonzalez has the gold and has slowly surpassed Kai in the pecking order, which understandably made Dakota mad and went to want to break out of that perception. She turned on Raquel a few weeks back, and they're on a collision course for tomorrow's match. If it were me, I'd switch the title to Dakota Kai. Raquel hasn't been lighting the world on fire with her reign since Mania weekend when she won it.
Mm-hmm.
It hasn't been all that eventful, and she had it for a few months now, so it'd be a good idea to change the scene up there with Dakota winning.
Raquel Gonzalez will lose the title tomorrow. I mean, I said tomorrow. Wait, it is tomorrow. I'm stupid.
Yeah, you're right.
But I'm so used to saying it on Saturday.
For TakeOver being tonight, right? Tonight, yeah.
But you know who she reminds me of? Like seriously?
Who?
She reminds me of Braun Strowman.
Raquel?
Yeah. She reminds me of Braun Strowman. She's not like physique. Who's the strongest? Who's more physique?
I believe she's dating Braun too.
Yeah, I think so too. I heard that rumor too.
Yeah.
Right? If she's dating Braun, you the man. But like, because I think Raquel Gonzalez is beautiful, mm-hmm. right? But she reminds me of Braun Strowman due to the fact that all she could do is just like stand there.
She got four moves. That's all you need.
Yeah, four. She has a severe limited amount of moves.
School Kevin Nash.
Stuff like that. Yada, yada, yada. While in Dakota Kai, who I'm a big fan of Dakota Kai. I've been waiting for her to get the NXT Women's title for years.
Years. But.
Right? Dakota Kai will win this match because I could use her better to elevate other women and have better rivalries later down the line.
You know what I honestly think? I think they should have changed up the face heel dynamic for this match.
So you think
because Raquel is not honestly too believable as a face.
So you think they should? You think they should switch?
Yeah, Dakota Kai is a much better baby face than a heel, and she is a great heel.
To be honest with you, I will keep Dakota Kai as a heel. I'll keep that. I'll keep it. And I understand what you're saying, and I'm not knocking it, but I feel like with Dakota Kai as a heel, I feel like it would be better. Because you know what's crazy? And it might sound crazy to me, or actually it's not crazy to me because I love the bad guys. Yeah. I'd rather have a heel champion than a face champion.
Well, yeah. Any day of the week. WWE books their face champions, of course.
Any day of the week, twice on Sundays. Yeah. Right? Because with Dakota Kai, a heel Dakota Kai, I'm like, I could use her as a measuring stick for everybody and for women later down the line that's coming to NXT or arguably main roster or hell, Survivor Series. Who knows? Right?
True.
Dakota Kai needs to become champion. She's my pick.
I agree.
So I'm the only one that's going different way. Cool. Yeah. So I'm going Raquel. Raquel to retain. Because she is a Triple H girl. She's not ready for the main roster. And I do feel Dakota's going to the main. I do feel it's time now for Dakota to step onto the main roster. They do need some more stars and just some more talent in general. Raquel, yes, it's been kind of lackluster. Her run so far, but I do think they can get a little more out of Raquel before dropping it.
So let me ask you a question.
Yes.
Let's say Raquel does retain, mm-hmm. right? And then Dakota Kai goes to
the main. Who's next?
Obviously, she's going to Raw.
Yeah.
Let's be real. She's going to Raw.
She's going to Raw.
Right? Because it's stacked on SmackDown. She's going to Raw, right? Mm-hmm. Who in the blue hell does NXT have?
They do have... They can go EO again. They can do EO Raquel too. I'm just going off the base of what
no,
I
no,
saw.
No, 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 no. But guess what? But guess what? EO including, she's done.
We don't know. That's the thing. Because well, they're still. I don't know what's going on,
bro. EO's time as the top female star, which I'm still a big fan of.
Yeah.
EO Shirai, who I'm like one of the biggest fans. She's done NXT.
She's done NXT.
I feel like it's just a case of
it's
you can't try to write her off.
It's Candice is pregnant. It's over. You know the. It's over. You know who? Like, if I'm NXT, no, if I'm Triple H, real talk, I'm talking to Vince. I'm like, yo, give me some of the main event stars. Give me some of the women and let me bring them back to NXT. I'll call Asuka to NXT without doubt. Yeah. Because the bitch ain't doing nothing.
Yeah, apparently right. they're intentional. I'm hearing reports that WWE's intentionally holding her back.
Yeah, they're holding
right now,
her back.
They have nothing for her.
There's like a shitload of women from the main event in the main roster that should be used in NXT.
Yeah,
if you're not using them in main event, put them at NXT.
Bring back Liv Morgan.
What I'm saying. Raquel Gonzalez winning means to me.
How's she been, by the way?
Exactly. I thought she was doing something. Like,
put her back in NXT. She was good.
Because if Raquel Gonzalez winning, I don't see how it benefits NXT. Well, you have to look at it from a business angle. If you have to look at it from a business angle, if Raquel Gonzalez wins, does it benefit NXT? The answer is no. If I got Dakota Kai, it benefits NXT because she can help other women.
Who cares at this point? Like, I know business standpoint, but they're. For right now, you do have other people, Sarai and all of them, but for right now, I still have my pick as Raquel retaining.
Okay.
It's not unfeasible to think.
No, it's not. It's not.
Like, honestly, it can go either way for me. I wouldn't be surprised. I just personally would
want to
see
Dakota. Yeah, but I personally want Dakota Kai because I've been waiting for this bitch to be champion for years. Exactly. since War Games! I've been waiting for that shit.
Nah. before that for me.
No, that's for me.
Yeah. moving on here, Adam Cole versus Kyle O'Reilly, 2 out of 3 falls match. It's practically 3 stages of hell. That's what this is. Their third and presumably final encounter with one another. This will consist of 3 stipulations. First fall is a traditional wrestling match. Second fall will be a street fight. And if there is a third fall involved, which is always the case.
Eerie familiar. You know, it reminds me of a similar 3 Stages of Hell match. I think it was Triple H and...
Stone Cold.
Triple H and Shawn Michaels, too.
Oh, yeah, that too. I got something to say about this match. No, actually not the match.
O'Reilly's winning.
The rivalry I'm talking about. Actually, let me fix that. I have something to say about the rivalry. This is just me. I'm only speaking for myself. I was not appealed to this rivalry at all.
Because the thing is this,
I was not appealed to this rivalry at all. I am so sorry to say this. I personally don't give 2 shits what anybody thinks. Because the greatest rival to me, to Adam Cole, was Johnny Gargano.
Yeah, of course.
Hands down. Your man, Johnny Gargano, Appa. When I look at...
The Ciampa feud was fucking good, too.
No, I know, but...
No. I know. There are levels.
Levels.
I'm saying, like, right? That's worth mentioning, too.
But...
Go ahead.
When I look at this rivalry, Cole and Riley, right?
All
right. This... Whatever. This rivalry was not natural.
It wasn't as natural as it could have been.
No, it was not as natural.
It should have been because they've literally been all throughout the whole career.
Right.
I feel like they're building this up to be what Gargano and Ciampa was 3 years ago.
But look. Here's how it can't. And I'm glad you brought that up because that's a better comparison. Riley can't talk worth a damn.
Yep. Cole can talk his ass off. He's one of the best. He's on par with Ciampa and Gargano in that department.
Carried the whole rivalry on the mic. I don't care what anybody says. Cole's the better wrestler. Me, personally. Even though O'Reilly's is just as good. Don't get me wrong. But, like, Adam Cole is the better wrestler. Adam Cole is the better main eventer. Adam Cole has been holding Kyle O'Reilly's hands since jump.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And NXT is making O'Reilly a quote-unquote... a main event star, which is complete bullshit.
Yeah.
I don't view Kyle O'Reilly as a main event star. I don't view him on par with Adam Cole. I just view him at mid-card at best.
Tag team specialist.
Tag team specialist
so many years, yeah.
It's sad because this is the ROH rivalry. They've been literally in sync fighting each other. It's almost similar to Kevin Owens and
Exactly. All they have that beginning.
They came in together to ROH. They trained together in the beginning.
Exactly.
They were tag teams.
Fellas, let's go back to Undisputed for a second. Adam Cole was the main guy.
De facto. Yep.
He was.
But how many times in this show have I brought up Roderick Strong?
Plenty.
Roderick Strong.
You sang his praises, man.
Roderick Strong, out of the 4 of them, is the best wrestler.
Oh yeah, he is. That was his
right.
Oh,
yeah. Pound for pound,
he was the worker.
Pound for pound,
yes.
He was the best worker on there.
Arguably in NXT entirely.
Best worker in NXT.
He's up there.
Roderick Strong. I would have had no problem if it was Roderick Strong versus Adam Cole.
Well, the thing is, Roderick can't talk worth a damn.
He can't talk just like O'Reilly. He can't talk
he's
worth
worse than O'Reilly.
No, look, trust me, and I completely agree with you on that.
I'd even go that far. Yeah.
No, he's completely worse than O'Reilly. But here's why I would rather watch Strong than O'Reilly than with Cole than O'Reilly, because Strong could perform his ass off in the ring, which trumps his mic skills.
You think it would more than make up for it?
Oh, no question. No question.
I mean, I think it would up to a certain point.
No.
Like, I don't think it's going to get him to Universal WWE title status.
No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about no matter if, in general standpoint, no matter if Roderick Strong can't talk worth a damn, his performance in the ring trumps everything. Like, let's go back. Roman Reigns and Drew McIntyre. Drew McIntyre was owned by Roman Reigns. But what trumped that? It was his performance, and that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Roger Strong's in that ballpark.
At the end of the day, we all talk. At the end of the day, that bell rings. You got to work.
Exactly. Correct. But for O'Reilly and Cole, I better not see this again. I don't want to see.
I don't
think
we're seeing.
I think to me, it was Cole's weakest rivalry. personally,
it was his weakest major rivalry.
Yeah,
major
weak, rivalry. Yeah, weakest major rivalry.
I can tell you some weaker ones.
Right? No. I can. I know a little bit too. But like, in terms of big time,
I agree with that.
So this is weakest rivalry.
Who do we have winning here?
I got O'Reilly winning.
I got Cole.
I got
you know what I think this is really
this might be Cole's last match. Yeah.
Exactly. His contract status with the company.
I got Cole.
He's gonna put up his boy. It's similar. It's
do you really think he's leaving?
Absolutely.
So you think he's leaving, but he's gonna get the win?
With the
win.
It's really similar. So before, when Kyle O'Reilly was about to go to the E, it was at New Japan. It was in what was it? The biggest Wrestle Kingdom.
Yes.
It was Kyle O'Reilly, Adam Cole for the ROH Championship. Kyle O'Reilly lost, put over Adam Cole. Cole held the belt for a little bit longer before it, whatever. Yeah. Before history happened. It's going to be eerie similar to that. They're going to go, then Adam Cole is going to put him over. It's going to put over Kyle O'Reilly. Hopefully in the performers that they match, because I do think the match is going to be epic. I think they're probably going to main event it. I think it's going to be a great match,
you
a great story.
Main event
yeah.
Wait, what?
Listen.
Hell no.
They're main
eventing. Wait.
They're main eventing. They're main eventing.
God. You think...
Okay. Whoa, they've done this before.
No,
they've done
what?
This
you know
before.
What?
This is Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly. This is literally the choke. This is the seed. This is Triple H's seed. This is loin.
I get what
they're going
I
to main event.
Yeah. I'd be upset.
They're going to main event.
No, I would be upset. Would be
if
upset,
this is Adam Cole's last match, he's main eventing it. You put Adam Cole on the card. When he had an Adam Cole match that did not main event, and he was on the card.
I'll give you that.
He has main event, but I think
give you that.
Maybe 90-something percent of his match.
Well,
to
be
matches.
Fair, he was mostly the NXT champion.
Yeah,
fighting
NXT champion.
For the title.
Yeah.
Those times. Wow. So, we're pretty much in all agreement, the three of us here, that Cole's done.
Cole's leaving.
He's leaving the company.
But I still think he's going to win this
he's
match.
He's going to win? Listen.
Nah, I think tradition stands. I think
stands.
O'Reilly's going
to
beat
him. Hey, if it does. It doesn't matter to me.
I think that you need to lose out to go to help out.
That's a good tradition, honestly.
Always put the next person over.
It's a good tradition, even though that person is O'Reilly.
There's nothing wrong with that.
And I hate shitting on O'Reilly because I fucking love him as a wrestler.
Oh, no, I'll shit on him.
But
any day of the week.
Everything else he kind of lacks in, and it's a problem.
I have no
problem.
Yeah. It
really is a shame.
I have no problem shitting on O'Reilly. I can do it every day.
And finally, what I'm hoping to be the main event, but as history dictates, it probably won't be. Karrion Kross against Samoa Joe for the NXT Championship. Big match here, as this is Joe's first wrestling match. It's getting rehired by WWE and placed on NXT once again.
Joe.
Fandom of Joe, man, is such a
I'm sorry. That's something that we had to cut you off. It's Joe. Bro.
It's Joe.
It's
things
Joe.
Is what the what? Okay, let's just talk about what they did to this man, Karrion Kross.
We have
had
to
this
that,
man though. Had this man go on the main roster and lose to decrepit old drunk Jeff Hardy. I haven't done it in a while. I want your blood boiling. Yeah, I want your blood boiling. See, I was
it's
being
been
good.
Too long, man.
It's been too long. But the thing is this, it wasn't right because Jeff Hardy was doing nothing. Absolutely. Now you can agree with me on that. Absolutely jack shit on the main roster.
Okay.
He came back. I understand he had injured. He came back. He got his music. You know, we love it. We love it here. But
when it comes down to who cares?
Yeah. Who cares? You just went and wrestled Gargano, all these other people, Ciampa, all these other brilliant wrestlers.
Balor.
And they could have rolled him up too. All these technical wrestlers. And then you guys said, oh, because he's a wily vet. He did a roll up. They all could have won with a roll up. He hasn't been pinned.
Up to that point.
Has not
what
been
what did
pinned.
They do? They have Jeff Hardy beat him.
He ran
like
through
that.
Five. He ran through five motherfuckers. He ran through the main event
of
the
NXT.
Whole of NXT
yep.
by himself.
And this is how it all paid off.
This is the payoff?
Okay.
It don't make sense.
You cannot separate
okay.
NXT and the main roster.
Okay. It does not make sense.
It's all live and broadcast before our very eyes. It's happening.
Well,
it does not. You cannot make that make sense.
First of all, why are you acting like this is a surprise to you?
Not saying.
No. Well, this is not a surprise to me.
What they did?
They've been doing this for years.
Yeah, they have been.
Okay.
Daniel Owens?
They look. They've been doing it to NXT stars for years.
But not with the
belt. Whenever they shift it to the main roster. It does not matter
who you are. The man was holding the belt.
It does not matter.
Undefeated streak.
I get
undefeated.
That.
Undefeated. And they even said that on the broadcast, on the commentary tape.
Yep.
He was undefeated.
Yeah, well, guess what? It does not matter anymore.
Okay? It doesn't matter now. Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
Don't matter now.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter anymore because this shouldn't become a surprise to you because you said Kevin Owens. I understand they didn't do it to Kevin Owens. But that was a different era at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Completely. So you can't even compare the two.
You can't,
right?
You can't. You know, and here's why. Kevin Owens had arguably the best NXT call-up.
Exactly.
I
think he is the best NXT
call-up. Yeah, exactly. Karrion Kross, meanwhile, you could argue had the worst.
The way Kevin Owens came to the picture, your first match was with John Cena, and you beat him. Come on. As NXT champion.
Nobody saw that coming. Yeah.
Right?
Nobody saw
with Karrion Kross.
Coming.
Because they should do the same thing with Karrion Kross. You already know about that. Mm-hmm. They should do the same thing with Karrion Kross. And yes, he fought with Jeff Hardy. I understand it's Jeff Hardy. I'm a fan to this day Jeff Hardy. Whoa. By the way, I did not interrupt you one bit. Okay? I understand it's Jeff Hardy. Right? But with Jeff Hardy, to this day, could still main event a show better than 90% of the talent right now.
No.
With name, value alone. I don't care what anybody says. With name, value alone.
Name, value has diminished, though.
Name, value alone. I don't care.
I'm saying the name value has diminished.
You can say it diminished all you want to. I'm a be that biased fan.
Thank you.
I'm going to be that biased fan.
At least he admits it.
But I personally don't care because, like, with Jeff Hardy is like a lovable guy at the end of the day when it comes to the WWE fans, right? And like if you were like, hell, in any type of match, you would want that man to win, no matter what, right? Karrion Kross being in the main roster as NXT champion, my man Jeff Hardy shitted on him. Like, was it like 2 weeks?
What?
I'm talking about
a month ago.
No.
They fought like 2-3 times.
Like 2-3 times?
Karrion Kross got 2 wins over him.
That's what I was confused about.
It still didn't diminish, but it
doesn't matter. Bottom line is this. The man's going to the main roster. Vince loves him. It's not a surprise to me because he did it multiple times before. With being a champion or not being a champion. Right? So it is what it is. I'm not surprised about it. I think Joe's winning to end the NXT title.
So those are our thoughts on how things will be going down with the matches at tomorrow night's TakeOver card. So it'll be interesting to see what they do there. Now, let's talk about the future of the NXT brand moving forward. What the plans are that WWE has up their sleeve for how they want to book NXT from this point forward. The brand is set to be undergoing some major changes in the next few weeks. And this includes things like a brand new set, new colors, and a brand new logo.
Okay.
So we're talking about aesthetics there, at least what I mentioned so far. Maybe they want to hold off on implementing any real change on the brand until after this TakeOver show tomorrow night so they can hit the reset button. That's a pretty good guess on my part. But it also looks as though, in terms of changes, that Triple H, the father of NXT, and has been since they officially became a developmental brand for the company since 2012, will no longer be that. And it will instead be under Vince McMahon's complete control, at least one of his goons working over there alongside him in the company.
I truly feel bad for Triple H. This man raised NXT from the dirt and made it into a tree, right? Mm-hmm. And he made it with him and I'm putting William Regal and Triple H in the same boat.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah. Into a worldwide phenomenon.
Also,
they became international. Matt Bloom. Oh yeah, Matt Bloom too.
Matt Bloom too.
And the fact that Vince is just gonna take it right from him, like stealing a candy from a baby.
Yep.
I was like, oh. And the thing is, Triple H is getting the full brunt of it. Like, I'm talking about, like, he's, it's almost like he's getting hit by a truck.
So I want to, funny you mentioned that, man. I actually want to get touch on that a little bit more.
Yeah.
Because I do have the notes here.
Sure.
It goes that those within the company blame Triple H for failing to have NXT successfully beat out AEW in the ratings in the Wednesday Night Wars.
It was never going to do that.
It was never going to happen. And adding to this, certain executives backstage feel that they would be losing their positions in the company if the Hunter took over Vince's role as, you know, the head honcho of WWE. It's a case of backstage politics at play once again. They are looking to want to revert back to the developmental system that would focus on more on the younger and bigger guys on their payroll. And Dave Meltzer described it as them wanting more, quote, Roman Reigns looking guys and no more midgets, unquote. As this exact, this exact phrasing was reportedly used in one of their meetings regarding this topic of the future of the NXT brand. No more midgets.
That, if I'm Triple H, I'm leaving WWE.
You can't leave.
Nah.
No.
He ain't like
listen,
one,
listen,
he
listen,
ain't
listen,
like
listen, listen, listen.
He's that's not.
Listen, it's very obvious that he can't do it. But this is what I mean.
That was the most disrespectful comment I've heard to NXT. Taking the blame is one thing. Disrespecting your own star that you made is another. Triple H treats them as if they were, that's his kids, bro. He treats NXT, the wrestlers, men and women, like they're kids. Right? As if they're Triple H's own kids. I'm like, yo, if I'm Triple H, I know this can't happen. It will never happen. And unfortunately, WWE management doesn't even trust Triple H anymore. That's the bottom line.
That was always the underlying feeling.
No. Before they were all heads and shoulders over Triple H. Like, they were with him to the death. But now, that relationship trust, it's over.
I'm just saying, no, I'm just bringing up the notion that we've been hearing reports of Vince.
Oh, of course.
Always at odds with one another. How to book a certain NXT star on the main roster.
It's over because Vince has won over management, which is not really surprising to me.
Sounds surprising.
But it's his one over management of WWE management getting onto his side because Triple H is looking at it from a different standpoint where Triple H is looking at WWE like, we need to do something different now. Mm-hmm. We can't do the same shit that we've been doing for 15 years, 20 years. We can't keep doing that. Triple H is the new voice of the new generation. And knows how it works. If Triple H was taking over WWE, we wouldn't be worried. We wouldn't be talking about conversations about AEW and WWE going head to head. Hell, we might not even talk about CM Punk. Might not even go to AEW, because I believe that Triple H would have made a better relationship or would have worked with CM Punk.
Not to mention all those younger guys getting released.
Exactly. Going to nobody would have been released. CM Punk arguably might not have been to AEW. Daniel Bryan might not even leave WWE. Or hell, nobody will have any problems with WWE, period. But the fact that matter is you got niggas from WWE management talking shit about Triple H, and not only that, talking shit about the NXT stars, calling them fucking midgets.
Mm-hmm. Man.
Yeah, the hard work that Triple H has placed on making the Yellow brand into an entertaining and legitimate alternative to the sports entertainment crap that was Raw and SmackDown for the better part of 10 years cannot be understated. I've been a fan of the NXT product since going back to 2014.
Man.
When they were really starting to gain low-key traction as a must-see weekly television product. And I was almost never disappointed in what I was seeing at the time.
Exactly! How are you upset about that?
Dude, think about it like this. Things made sense. We were given good storylines that progressed very well and had great payoffs. Mm-hmm. Talented wrestlers were used to their full potential, at least within the confines of NXT.
Yeah.
And of course, the wrestling itself. Ever since AEW came into the picture, and I don't want to blame them for, you know, killing off NXT like we know it, but they definitely, you know, played a big hand in that.
They played a role because...
And of course, the pandemic hitting last year itself, I felt it really started to fall off a cliff. And it was clearly not the same NXT we all knew and loved.
But that's not Triple H's fault. COVID hit a big impact on WWE, including NXT, right? I'm like, you can't blame Triple H for that.
Are you kidding?
Real talk, if I'm Triple H, you know how they say suck it? I would say for real, suck my dick. Kiss my ass. I am out. I'm serious. Seriously.
He just disrespected this man and blamed him for the NXT falling, so you say, falling off a cliff. And Vince is like, now I gotta take over. Fuck out of here, man. I'm Triple H. Tell Vince and everyone else, suck my dick. Shit. Let's go. Can't believe what I heard.
Oh, man. Yo, I'm sorry, man. I just lost
it. It's funny.
No, it's so just great.
It needed to be said.
Hell yeah, it needed to be said.
It's Triple H, I got your back, boy.
It's something. It was kind of constructed
now
like
you know,
that.
Hunter.
Fortunately, it was constructed like that. Listen, Vince knew that NXT was not going to compete with AEW. Only NXT was pretty much in place there to try to slow them down.
Someone needed to be the scapegoat.
Yeah, someone had to be the scapegoat just to play so they don't get their contract extension.
And it was the person in charge of NXT that's for so long.
Yeah, so after they got their contract extension, the war was pretty much over after that. After
there was AEW, never, dude, there was never really a war. I don't think there was ever really a war. It was just really in the
eyes of the fans.
The fans' eye.
The fans
mind.
Thought
that's
it was
it.
A war. Yes, they
because
they
it was happening
sometimes.
The same. It was ongoing at the same time every week on Wednesday nights at 8.
That's it. It wasn't even to the minute spectacle.
I didn't want to see
Attitude Era. So
I just wanted to see the both brands thrive best they could. Yeah. AEW did. NXT didn't.
Thing is about the NXT structure, it was only built for 1 hour. If you go back to the structure itself, when they went to 2 hours, it felt like they were stretching everything out. It wasn't the storyline, everything.
Yeah, exactly.
Built,
they were like just throwing things
built,
into the
wall
and seeing what sticks.
And then
fixed.
When you saw the main event getting older, you saw it was always how I see NXT as a revolving door of talent. Once you get over, you go up. It was always a revolving door. And then when they changed themselves to try to be the third brand, then they had to keep stars back. It was mainly to ROH at best. You literally took most of ROH's main event and you put it on NXT. So
I feel you.
It's different.
I feel you. It doesn't matter anymore.
It wasn't. I know. I'm just.
I get it. Yeah. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter anymore because Vince is now going to be in full control.
At the
NXT.
End of the day, it's Vince's decision.
Like, and that is the reality of the situation, right? Triple H has no say anymore.
Of course,
he never. Really nobody, not one NXT star could go to Triple H anymore. It all revolves around Vince. Triple H will never. Ever become the next chairman of the WWE because all of us wanted that to happen since day one because Triple H is the guy to take over the WWE into new heights to probably has never even been touched before. And now you got WWE management not trusting Triple H entirely because they're sucking Vince's ass and his nuts for God's life. That they are gonna follow Vince to the death, and Triple H will have no say in this at all. If I'm Triple H, I know he can never ever leave. But if I'm Triple H, I am leaving WWE. I don't care. I don't care. You can talk shit about me all you want to. You can say I'm not gonna be the chairman of the board. Fine. You can say I have no say so. Fine. But you shit on my NXT stars. I made that shit, not Vince. Me. That's my shit.
Who's funny?
Period.
Look at Ricardo go, man.
I know. Who's
funny? Oh, my God. I can't believe Triple H is like taking the full brunt of this and not doing anything. That's what I'm mad about.
Somebody got to.
Triple H ain't doing nothing.
What can he do? At the end of the day,
Ricardo said it laid it out there, but
it's Vince's world. And Triple H is
Triple H is living in it.
Yeah, of course.
Shit.
But at the end of the day, Vince has always approved.
Triple H's gonna divorce Stephanie, then move on.
Everything has been approved by Vince. Everything. Every
NXT,
little step NXT
yes.
has done has always been approved
so NXT
by Vince.
Eventually loses.
Yes.
Lost.
NXT was
everybody loses.
We all lost.
Everybody loses.
Thing is this. Let's just take it a different perspective. Yeah. Let's see what happens. How this new version... It's going to be, yes, it's going to go back to the development. It's not the third brand anymore.
It's the developmental
brand. It was maybe they need to do this again to try to get focus back. The thing is this now, they need new stars on the main roster. Main roster needs new stars. And unfortunately, all the stars that they have done Triple H's way have not panned out in Vince's eyes. So Vince said, fuck it. I'm going to go back to what I know and do it the way that we've done it before. And you may get a new, you may get new stars out of this, but it will it be how we saw it, how the indie guys come in? No, it's not going to be these indie guys. It's going to be the Joe Schmoes who just got out of wrestling school with Booker T's thing, Booker T's wrestling school, or new people, or athletes from the Olympics, or wherever they pick up off the street, and then they'll have that loyalty because it's their first gig, and let's see what happens, how they create stars.
Yeah, that's all cute. While Vince is creating new stars,
yeah, that's how his way.
All of us fans will be watching AEW.
And so be it.
This is why I feel there's extra significance behind this upcoming TakeOver show tomorrow night. Because this is going to be the truly the end of an era.
Exactly. Yeah.
Even though NXT hasn't properly been what it once was since going back to the pandemic and AEW becoming a thing.
Man, the show died when it went to 2 hours.
Exactly. But it still had a semblance of what made it great.
Yeah.
Exactly. So this is the final hurrah for them. After this weekend, NXT is more than likely truly dead. Mm-hmm. The NXT went once new and loved. we needed to have it. It needed to be said.
Man, let it out.
Now moving on to the second event, which will be taking place later tonight, as a matter of fact, which is why we're hoping to get this out as soon as possible. The biggest party of the summer will be airing live later on tonight, emanating from the Allegiant Stadium in Las Vegas, Nevada, a venue that only opened up around this time last year. And it's a venue that can hold up to over 70,000 people in a football game.
You think it'll be a bigger party than last night?
I'm sorry.
You think that would be a bigger party than last night?
Hell no.
Shit.
Listen, Tony Khan, from the Dynamite that felt like a mini pay-per-view to what we saw last night at Rampage, he sucked out the life. I mean, the life of the biggest party
this
of summer.
This was an amazing week for AEW.
Man. SummerSlam could be held in a bingo hall right now because no one gives two bucks about it.
Yep, but we're still going to trudge along with...
Yeah, of course, we're going to still watch it.
...predicting, just to give you guys something.
Yeah.
So, yeah, a somewhat overall lackluster build towards the show with these so many uninspiring storylines and rivalries they're focusing on, especially on the Monday Night Raw side.
Let's start...
Yes, Lawrence, thank you, I agree. Let's start with the predictions already. We'll do... Nikki Ash... against Rhea Ripley against Charlotte Flair for the Raw Women's title. This has been, inarguably, the worst booked match heading into this year's SummerSlam event. There's been no reason to care at all about these three right now, and it's a travesty given how great Rhea was not even that long ago. Same for Nikki Cross. Charlotte is Charlotte, you get what you get with her. Greatness or, mediocrity.
Mm-hmm.
And that is her winning this match and reclaiming the Women's title, making it title number 14 or however many it be if she won here, which is my prediction.
I got Charlotte.
Okay.
Drew McIntyre against the modern day Maharaja, Jinder Mahal.
Maharaja. Get it right.
Yes, the match that was
actually pretty good.
It was.
That was pretty good.
But like I was saying, the match that our fellow First Lady Tara wants to see, yes. I'm sure, because she's a huge Jinder Mahal fan. Her and the other three people out there somewhere in the world that are looking forward to this match.
What?
Fine. Oh, I'm sorry. Right? I didn't name drop you. Sorry. Lawrence.
Jinder. Yo.
It's a Jinder fan. There's so many Jinder Mahal fans now.
Yeah. I know,
Jinder's awesome.
I know a lot of people.
People fans.
I know a lot of
Suddenly,
people.
They're all fans.
Shout out to my boy Evan, who's a big time fan of Jinder Mahal. But you know what's crazy?
That theme is fire.
You know what's crazy, bro? I got Jinder Mahal winning.
I got Jinder winning.
One
kalas.
Seriously? I do.
Takes one kalas.
I personally do. Because you know why? I feel like what they're doing with Drew McIntyre and Jinder Mahal, I feel like Jinder Mahal needs this.
Well, I guess.
He has been pushed since he lost the WWE title. Right? When he won the WWE title.
He lost the US title.
Yeah, but I'm talking about his big, big run, WWE title. He hasn't really been doing much because of the WWE title.
He was injured too.
He got injured a lot, to be honest with you. People don't know that. He was really, really injured.
Yeah, the last year or so. Very on and off.
But I feel like Jinder Mahal is going to win this one.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it's needed.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to give credit to Drew McIntyre of taking a back seat because I feel like it was needed for him.
Yeah, Drew needs to take a back seat.
Drew McIntyre needs to take a back seat. until the draft. Yeah. Right? Until the draft. But for
He needs to go to SmackDown.
He needs to go to SmackDown.
Change. He needs to change things.
Yeah. But like for Drew McIntyre, Jinder Mahal, I got Jinder Mahal winning.
I got, because Jinder needs the heat. And
yep.
Come on now. It's Jinder. I don't know why people hate Jinder.
I don't hate Jinder personally.
When Jinder was good, he was good. It was like, yes, to how they booked
him. When was that?
2017. When he was good, he was good.
Did you honestly think he had a good title reign? Honestly.
No.
Thank you.
No. I'm not saying he had a good title reign. But what I would say is this. He held his own in the main event scene. That's what I would say.
No, he didn't.
He did.
Dude, he...
Really?
He felt more... My honest opinion, if he was U.S. champion and he had that exact same run, I would have been like, you know what? Fine.
That's what you mean.
That's okay. A better title for him.
Okay.
Because he would have done good for himself in the mid card. Okay. Because that was not a main event gimmick.
I mean, hey, I was like, yo, bottom line, it happened.
Well, that's, yeah.
But like, for Jinder Mahal, like, I think he's going to win this one. And this dude is a workout warrior. Mm-hmm. Jinder Mahal is a beast.
Hard body Mahal.
Bro.
Okay. Hard body Mahal. Moving on, yes. Yeah. You know what? Yeah, I got McIntyre to win.
Sure. No problem. Okay.
Matt Riddle and Randy Orton, RK-Bro, versus AJ Styles and Omos, your dude, Lawrence. Omos. For the Raw Tag Team titles.
Omos Sapien over here. I got them retaining.
Oh, you do?
Really?
I got them retaining.
Because I got them losing. No question.
Because Randy just came back, whatever he was doing, little mustache.
He was
I do think they do injured. A little more chase. But it would be a great story to have Randy and RK Bro winning.
So.
But I got Omos and AJ.
I did not know we would have so many disagreements.
Honestly. Let me tell you something. That's good. Let me tell you something right now.
Yes. I agree.
You need to tell me with a straight face. AJ and Omos, I'm calling him Omos because I'm going to get curious about his name.
Your thing. Well, that's fine.
Is going to retain the tag titles.
Mm-hmm. But it's like,
do you realize that Randy Orton and Matt Riddle is the hottest team in WWE right now? Do you understand that? That's a money-making machine.
It does suck. It has taken a little bit out of the whole interest in RK-Bro, considering Orton has been out for like about a month
and a half. And that's the only exception. We understood that. Injuries happen, but you can't tell me that's not money.
But I feel the time has come.
Exactly.
And not for nothing, Styles needs to get the hell away from the tag team division. Yeah. He needs to be back in the WWE title.
And again, I'm a fan. I got AJ Styles in my top five all time.
Yeah.
Personally, like all time favorite stars to watch, right? But AJ Styles got to bounce. You got to bounce.
You got bigger things.
That's true.
I'm like, when the draft comes, your ass better go to SmackDown and face Roman Reigns.
I could see why they would want to. Wouldn't want to separate him and Omos.
Yeah, I get that.
Because Omos could do AJ versus
Bobby. I think so. But it's like this. RKO bro is too hot, bro.
I said RKO bro.
Randy Orton and Matt Riddle is the hottest team in the WWE. You do not mess that up. Okay.
I never thought this would work.
I did not think it would work.
It's an odd couple. They always, every couple years, they do an odd couple tag team.
No, yeah, but somehow, it's just like,
no, but it's like,
but listen, but look at the dynamic.
Yeah.
Look at how Matt Riddle is, the way he is, and Randy Orton.
It's like when they did Jericho's show.
No.
Jericho show.
No.
It was entertaining.
No.
It's entertaining.
No, but they weren't polar opposites.
Polar opposites, exactly.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Jericho was a carefree, lucky guy.
Daniel Bryan Kane.
Yes.
Okay.
That's better.
That's better.
That's really? Better. You see? Yes, that's better. That's a better example.
RVD and Kane.
RVD. No. That was okay. That was actually okay.
I go for. I don't remember that.
That was okay. Right, but Daniel Bryan and Kane. Same thing. Randy Orton and Matt Riddle is winning the tag titles.
Okay. It needs to happen.
It's going to happen.
Because, like I said, two birds, one stone. Mm-hmm. You get the title, exactly. You get a great moment at SummerSlam.
Right.
And Styles gets the hell away from the tag team division.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So, do that, WWE. Damian Priest against Sheamus, U.S. Championship match. It'll be pretty good. Hard-hitting, full of action, nonstop. These two are very good.
Very good wrestlers.
No reason they can't give us any of that.
Priest,
yes. He should win here.
It's time for Priest.
Dude. I got Priest.
Bank, it's time for
Priest. And because I'm a fan of both. Sheamus and Priest. Very, very good workers. I got Priest winning the title.
I wouldn't have... This would be a sleeper match right here.
I agree. It would be a sleeper match. Mm. It would be.
In terms of work rate, yeah.
But, like, hey. You need a sleeper match in one show.
So, yeah. Damian Priest for the win here.
Yep.
Usos against Rey and Dominic Mysterio for the SmackDown Tag Team titles. Usos to retain here.
Usos.
I don't know why they were given... I don't know why they were given the belts when they did, when you consider that, you know, Jimmy Uso was arrested for a DUI not even 2 weeks beforehand. But what do any of us know?
They already explained why. We're not going to get into that. They already explained why.
What'd they say?
Okay, if you want me to get
into it.
Fine. No, I must have missed it.
All right, fine. It's what WWE was... I'm just paraphrasing.
Yeah, what
WWE was practically saying is, like, we understand that he had a DUI, and we understand that, like, he should have been suspended, which I personally think he should have been suspended. Hell, I would have went to a step further. I'm like, yo, he's suspended for 30 days with no pay. That's what I would have done, me personally. Yeah. But that neither here nor there. The reason why they didn't do anything is because it would have, at the time when it when he came back, Roman Reigns was like up here. You don't shift that story. You don't mess that up. If they did mess that up, hell, you can make a legitimate argument. You might not only succeed him versus Roman. Because
really,
yeah, really. Because you know why? Because at the time when the Usos came back, like both of them,
yeah.
When the time the Usos came back, Roman Reigns was head and shoulders above everybody.
True.
Right? Yes. His faction was not truly established, right? Until the Usos came together.
Jimmy came
right? Mm-hmm. Now, imagine if... what's his name? Jimmy?
Yeah.
Jimmy mm-hmm. was suspended, right? For 30 days, which means the first day of August. Because he got, obviously, the DUI was in mm-hmm. July. He would have arguably came either the first day of August or mid-August.
Sure.
Before SummerSlam.
Mm-hmm.
It would have not have worked. It wouldn't work.
In terms of Cena Roman?
Well, in terms of arguably everything involving
Roman Reigns. In terms of faction itself.
In terms of factions.
You needed to get the belt off, exactly. In terms of factions and in terms of the storyline,
and most importantly, Roman Reigns. If you just have Jimmy and Roman, and you got Cena, Cena would have
Jay.
I'm sorry. And you got Roman's and Jay, and you got Cena. Cena would have. You can make a legitimate argument. Roman would have lost, like, arguably convincingly. Because look how let's take Daniel Bryan for example. Right, it was just Jay and Daniel for weeks. Mm-hmm. We already know that, right? And it was just those two. Daniel Bryan's a different stratosphere in terms of main event status in terms of Johnson. We already know that,
yes,
right? But if Jimmy was suspended, and you're in a rivalry with John Cena and to some degree Finn Balor. Right, like, even though I still think Finn Balor should like get a title shot personally, but I personally think that the faction would have been heads and shoulders over the rest, and you would not look at Roman Reigns as a polarizing figure without both Usos. Yeah. All right, and that's what made his point earlier. Remember how in the beginning he said that Roman's heel status low key declined. To some degree, because he brought up MGF.
Yeah,
he brought up MGF.
Yeah,
and he compared it. Right, it would have went this way if Jimmy didn't come. If he was suspended, he would have come in mid August. The bloodline would have been perfect. The bloodline would not have been perfect.
Yeah,
and Roman Reigns would have not been the polarized figure that he is now without both Usos.
I guess. I mean, maybe I wouldn't go that far necessarily in saying that it would have effective. It would have affected Roman and Cena, and if they still won with the title match for tonight,
because
it's not like the Usos were make or break for that storyline.
No, I understand.
I don't even think they really played a role at all.
Yeah, no, they haven't played a role at all. But the reason they haven't played a role at all in terms of those two, but the reason why I'm saying the Usos is because Roman needs the Usos. He needs the Usos to validate himself. As the tribal chief, as the bloodline
mm-hmm.
for himself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we can have that moniker.
No, but that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Without the Usos, you might not see Roman like this. Like the tribal chief, like as a polarizing.
I mean, I'm just saying he dominated.
No, I Jey get that. Uso. Like, I get that.
He dominated Jey Uso for a few months last year, even including their Hell in a Cell match.
Also, that time Jimmy was coming back, and also mini feuding with Roman at that time.
Yeah,
if he would have been taken off, it would have killed that too.
Exactly. So,
no, I'm not. No. Yeah. I agree 100% that that should have happened the way it did.
Right.
I'm not denying that. I'm just saying what we're seeing afterwards. It's
correct.
You know what I mean? It's like it wouldn't have affected
bring it all back badly. In. Mysterio's is just. They ain't giving me none. Mysterio, so it's going to be Usos.
Yeah, because they're babyface champions. You know how WWE likes to book them? Like, yes. Shit. Like shit. They don't know how to book them to save their lives. It's same for the heels in a sense, but that's for a story for another day. Bobby Lashley will be defending the WWE Championship against Bill Goldberg. Same song and dance with Goldberg for the past 2 years. The odd exhibition match here and there, followed by a handful of world title matches that he didn't deserve. And a few runs with the Universal title. Nobody wants to see this old fuck in the ring. Period. If never mind for a world championship.
Goldberg wins, we riot. It is a national hate crime. I'll say it. I'll be the one. It's a national hate crime if Goldberg wins. I will call the NAACP. Jeez. I will call Jesse Jackson. I'll call everybody.
Lashley's going to retain the WWE title.
Corner. Okay.
You know what I want to see after the match? Lashley,
but
I'm gonna say goddamn Brock.
But yes,
give me Brock.
Oh no, Lashley kill his son afterwards, but whatever.
I think son's a little too young to be taking bumps like that.
You never know. They could have brought him in like, hey, can you take a spear?
No, 16?
16.
Nah, nice. Too young. Too young.
If he was 18, I would have gave it to
him. He was 18. Yeah.
If he was 18, I would have given it to
him. Nah, you get hit. Nah, but Brock to come out. You need Brock to come out because what happened
last night?
I don't care.
Do we think it's gonna happen?
No,
you fly.
I don't think that's gonna happen.
Do you think Lesnar's gonna come out tonight after the smash? Confront Lashley.
Stephanie did say they had some big surprises.
No, I personally,
they could be just.
I don't think. Look. I don't think it's gonna happen tonight. However, Vince needs to pull shit out of his ass.
Maybe tomorrow night. Maybe Raw Monday night. Lashley comes out, gloats a little, and then Lesnar comes out.
Okay, yeah, okay. But that'll be too little too late.
I mean, it'd still be effective.
No, it'll be too little too late. I mean, you want to happen the day after what CM Punk just pulled.
I just love the timing of this all.
Not exactly.
Because now you know they're going to pull something
You got to pull something.
You got to pull something out of your ass.
If you pull Goldberg winning, that's terrible.
Can you imagine that's their solution?
They're going to chant CM Punk. They're going to chant. Because people already
going to chant CM Punk. They're going to chant CM Punk from the start to finish in that show.
Yeah.
Especially when they see somebody they don't like.
Shit.
They see Goldberg, they're chanting CM Punk. That's speed. All right, let's get into the matches that are really worth discussing. We finally made it this far. Bianca Belair versus Sasha Banks for the SmackDown Women's Championship. This is their second match together since their very first encounter in the main event of Night 1 of this year's Mania show. Where we have not seen Sasha Banks since then, by the way. They knocked it out of the park with that match. And that was until she made her big return last month on SmackDown, where she feigned befriending Belair until she predictably turned on her. My problem with this, the match itself, is that Bianca doesn't have a whole lot waiting for her if she were to retain here. Who's there left on SmackDown Women's Division for her to face after? Nobody. It's not Zelina Vega or Carmella, that's for sure. She dispatched them both like they were nothing last night on SmackDown. Nobody. Not saying that Sasha would fare all that better if she came out as champion, but I would not be upset if Sasha won here. She would carry that title very well herself, but Bianca Belair wins here.
You better say the right thing.
As the Sasha Banks aficionado, the number one fan, the stan of this podcast of Sasha Banks, Sasha Banks is winning this match. Sasha Banks is going to retake the SmackDown Women's Championship. I almost said Raw. I don't know why. But SmackDown Women's Championship... Becky's gonna come out. Becky's coming out to verse Sasha. That's it. Because I understand Bianca has been great, but
so for you, Sasha's winning.
Sasha's winning, and
Becky comes.
And
out
now
to
we're
confront.
Doing Becky Sasha.
That could be the big surprise.
You're wrong.
You're gonna have Bianca retaining, and Becky comes out.
No.
Becky does not come out.
Who comes out?
Becky comes out and beats both their asses. No winner.
No winner. Oh, just...
Oh, you're saying off the back of like 15, 20 minutes, mm-hmm. the great match, Becky comes out and destroys both of them.
She beats both their asses.
That's a different direction.
Because...
I don't want to see the mandible slam.
Look.
That mandible is fucking terrible.
Look.
Well, the way she does
it. I completely agree with Abba. He is 100% correct.
Bell.
Everything that you just said. Belair wins, who's next? Banks wins, who's next?
Yeah,
there's not one female outside of Bayley.
Where's Toni Storm?
Outside of Bayley.
Who?
Exactly.
To face either woman.
Well, Bayley. Bayley's out.
That's for it. The woman's side. I said outside of Bayley. Outside of Bayley to face the women's champion.
I don't think.
No matter who it is. And that's why I said, Becky beats both their asses. Okay? Because, like this, guys. I can't believe I'm about to say this again. You can make a legit mark, man. This build wasn't shit either. This build was what?
She came back.
So it's almost as similar to the first one. Almost as similar to the first one. The only difference is Sasha and Bianca was more involved in this one than the second one. Mic wise, obviously promo wise, etc. etc.
Bianca doesn't have that.
No, I understand that.
That's what
I understand. I understand that.
Yeah, you can't rely on her to cut a long.
No, look. I understand that. But what I'm saying is that's why Bianca's better as a heel. She has swag. But what I'm saying is, the build to this wasn't as appealing as it was not appealing, just like the first one wasn't appealing in terms of build, right? The match changed everything. Yes, it was fire.
No, the match can be fire.
And you sure about that?
Between them two,
you think it'll disappoint?
Sasha Bianca too?
No. I'm not saying it will delay. Okay. I'm not saying that these women are trash. I'm not saying this match will be trash. But I'm saying there's something different about this match than the first match. That's what I'm saying.
In terms of what exactly?
In terms of what?
The dynamics the same.
Yeah, pretty much.
In terms of.
Well, no, because Sasha's fully healed. Remember, Sasha wasn't...
No. That's what I'm saying. I feel like something's different about this one than the second one.
Oh, my God.
What?
You know what I think it is? The lackeys. Carmel and Zelina.
Remember, she has the lackeys now.
We can... They're definitely going to have interference.
She has her little crew.
My man, Alva just spoke my words.
The lackeys.
That's why my man... She's healed. You got Zelina. You got Carmella.
This match could actually...
Ka-flop! This shit could flop! Arguably! Think about it. Past 2 weeks, Carmella and Zelina Vega. Past 2 weeks.
It's weird, too.
Involving Sasha Banks.
It's such a weird...
It's weird?
It's out of nowhere,
I said Zelina Vega. Carmella... Sasha Banks and Bianca Belair sells itself. Why ask Zelina Vega all due respect? And Carmella, why you do that? They're low-key. For the past 2 weeks, they've been hinting that Sasha Banks has a small faction with Zelina, Carmella, Banks. With those three girls. Right?
You need to put.
If that happens, you just ruined possibly one of the best matches in SummerSlam.
Well, this is my argument there that I don't think it ruins it.
It just brings it down.
But the thing match. Is, you also need to build up other stars because you need to build up. You need to have some other stars in the background. But it helps. Sasha helps them raise their stock up a little bit, raise the lackeys a little bit.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm acting like Kenny over here, and you too.
Zelina,
as great as Zelina Vega is, she hasn't won a single match. Since coming back to the company 2 months ago.
And I'm a fan!
No one cares about her right now. In terms of momentum. Nobody cares. Carmella? Same shit with her. She's had one too many title...
She's even worse.
She's had five too many title matches with Bianca and Sasha all year.
She's even worse.
Get her out of my screen.
Yup.
She's hot to look at. That's it.
But that's all I'm saying. Outside of that, I got Becky beating both their asses.
I like the different direction
you went. I'm telling you right now.
I didn't really think of it like that.
That happens, SummerSlam possibly could be saved.
It's gonna be saved by Becky, but I just feel Becky Sasha.
That's another way to say that.
Dynamic. I said possibly.
That's another way.
It's that dynamic they need to go to. Oh, Becky.
I honestly think
Becky come back.
I think they'll do post. I think they're gonna do a more post match.
No, I get post match, but Becky needs to show
up. I'm just leading. I know. I get that happening too.
Becky needs to show up tonight. I feel you. I feel you was pregnant, bitch. You're fine now. Come back tonight.
Oh no,
she's good now.
It's been almost a year.
She's been a year. It's time.
Okay.
She got to come back tonight.
So to reiterate, Bianca.
Sasha.
I got no winner. Becky beats both her asses.
Got it.
Nice.
Another match we all unanimously care about heading into the show. Seth Rollins against Edge. One-on-one first time matchup between these two, as Edge was never an active performer when Rollins was in WWE until last year. So it became a real possibility we would get this eventually, and here we are. Love what they've done in their promos where they call back to 2014, where Seth came close to curb stomping Edge on his Money in the Bank briefcase and threatening to paralyze him for good. So Edge is out for vengeance on being humiliated that night, just enough to build this feud off of. It's a solid foundation. Honestly, this is the match I'm having the most difficulty to predict. As both of these guys could feasibly...
Yeah, really.
I feel both of these guys could feasibly win here. It would make perfect sense. And think about it like this. They both suffered significant losses in the last pay-per-view.
They did. They did.
Rollins failed to win Money in the Bank again. Mm-hmm. Edge failing to win the Universal title.
Mm-hmm.
Ultimately, Rollins is winning.
I agree.
I won't be surprised if Edge wins, though. It's a coin toss for me.
To be honest with you... That's what it is. To be honest with you, it's a win-win. It's a win-win. No matter what.
Exactly.
It's a win-win.
I felt those red lights...
Except if there's a fuck finish.
No. It's a win-win.
I felt those red lights. I thought the Fiend was coming back. I was like, oh, shit, the red lights. But we saw something else. Can you explain that?
Wait, red lights?
The red light. Remember the red lights flicker?
Oh, who gives a shit? I thought
the Fiend was coming back.
Who gives a shit about that?
That was great last night.
Yes, it was amazing. The Brood? Whoa. Oh, for kids that don't know about the Brood, y'all were too young to watch the Attitude Era. Go check the Attitude Era and come talk to me about the Brood. Y'all don't know about that. Edge, Christian, Gangrel, that shit, Faction was fire. So alright?
Mr. Darkness.
This will become the match of the night at SummerSlam.
I can see that.
The match of the night at SummerSlam.
Yeah, I can see that.
This was the most best build rivalry towards SummerSlam. By far.
I have to agree, yeah.
What are you laughing about?
Nothing. Keep
going. I'm like, what's he laughing about?
I'm throwing you off, my bad.
Like, I said this on our last show.
Yeah.
If people, just in case they didn't watch it, didn't hear the show, I'm saying it again. Edge is facing his past self 10 years ago. That's really alarming to Edge. Mm-hmm. He's facing a guy that he's facing himself 10 years ago. Seth Rollins is the Edge of this generation, which is beautiful to see, right? The rated R superstar, and I'm still saying the Monday Night Messiah. I'm sorry.
Sure.
I'm going to say that.
Sure. You can't shake that. But
I can't shake that name. That is so fire.
All right, but...
But...
Who's winning?
No, I said Seth Rollins.
Clean?
Huh?
Is Rollins winning clean?
No, it's a... What type of match is
it? Honestly?
Singles.
Small singles?
Honestly?
They should have a hardcore stipulation.
Yeah, I personally think this should be a stipulation. That's just me.
Last man standing.
Nah, hardcore. No. Hardcore.
No. I got false count anywhere.
Maybe that,
that's better maybe to me. Do it. But I got Seth Rollins winning clean. This build was amazing. And I'm curious to what... I'm looking forward to what Edge is going to do. I already know what Seth Rollins is going to do.
You mean afterwards?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's also
I don't know where
I'm looking for. I'm looking. No, exactly. And that's the question. And that's the beauty of it. You don't know.
And you know he's not going to be done.
Exactly. That's awesome. You don't know. Because let's be real. That nigga's going to be in Survivor Series. That nigga's going to be next year's WrestleMania. And that nigga's going to be in the Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
Edge, what I'm talking about. No
question. Survivor Series is going to be in Brooklyn. Barclays Center, right?
Exactly.
They announced it.
And we're all getting tickets. All of us.
All right, let's not be quick about that.
But yeah. I'm getting tickets there. I'm going there. Right? But like, Edge... For sure, I'm looking forward to what Edge is going to do after, because I got Rollins winning.
No question. What say you, Lawrence? Who do you think's winning?
I got Rollins. Okay. I'm going Rollins. Yeah, Rollins.
Yeah.
Rollins. I
We pretty much covered it.
We covered it.
Nice.
Rollins.
Yep. Should be awesome, the match.
Awesome.
And the main event, Roman Reigns, Tribal Chief, John Cena, face of the company.
Let's talk Universal about that lackluster build.
Yes, let's get into that. Universal Championship, of course. The match we're all waiting for, and as Ricardo loves to say so much, it's the true test for Roman Reigns.
He failed.
And it's not without reason.
He failed.
He failed. He did. You think Roman Reigns failed?
Well, it wasn't an A+.
Explain.
It wasn't an A+. How I felt that promo went was, it could have been more visceral. When they met that Friday, was about two weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
I felt that promo could have been more visceral against each other. I know they felt like they're more praising each other. Yes, they went after, he went after Nikki Bella. One went after, whatever, Dean Ambrose, shit like that. The Dean Ambrose pun. But I felt their interaction could have been a little more, as I said, third time, mm-hmm. visceral. I thought it was going to be this promo battle. He was hyping it up. Roman Reigns hyping it up on social media, hyping it up on different talk shows.
They both were.
And they come back. It's just, it didn't land how I wanted it to land, personally, for myself.
Okay.
So maybe fail wasn't the word, but it wasn't flying colors of how I thought it was.
So before I get on you, let me ask you a specific question. Who do you blame for the robbery? Roman or John? Who do you blame? Roman or Cena?
No, that's the question. I don't. Maybe it's just the times, or maybe how they did it. I don't know who to really blame for. Maybe Cena? Maybe Cena?
It is Cena.
Because at the end of the day, Cena still won that promo at the end, but I just felt it just wasn't.
Here's why I say it was Cena. Right? In terms of this build, could it have been better? Absolutely. You get no debate from me about that.
Mm-hmm.
No debate. Because I truly feel this should have been the best feud in SummerSlam.
We should have been talking
about it. It should have been the best feud. Right? But due to the fact of Cena's time in WWE, the time that he's been in Hollywood, the time that he's been very nonchalant in WWE, and most importantly, the lack of action in WWE live TV.
That's live TV, because now, he's been back. Like, when he came back, he's been back. He's been doing
what
house shows and all that. He's been doing.
You can't. I understand the way that he's been doing. He's been in action more on house shows than in live TV, which is understandable because you got to get John Cena's feet wet.
Yeah.
When people do WWE live, that's like practice for the big show.
Yeah.
Right. But I blame Cena on this, like I said before, because I feel like I should have gotten more from John Cena. Promo wise,
because I don't mind them not touching. That's fine.
I'm actually not okay with that.
I don't think they need to touch.
No, I feel like they should have.
I think they should have went more.
Here's why. I feel like they should.
Wait. To reiterate, you said that you're okay with the build.
No. I blame John Cena
for the lack of build.
For the lack of build of this rivalry.
Okay.
And I'm explaining why. I already mentioned to Lawrence due to the lack of action on WWE live TV because of John Cena. The amount of time he's been in Hollywood more than WWE live television has been proven.
So go to your point there. Because you just brought it up, but I just want to get this in real quick. They could have done a tag team match with Cena and Balor against Roman and Jay or Jimmy.
No, and that makes my point.
Yeah.
That makes my point. Actually, to be honest with you, I didn't mind Balor being there. Mm-hmm. I didn't mind that at all. Because if you make a case for Balor, it makes sense.
Mm-hmm. No, but you know what else I like about it? The dynamic that more than one person is going after Roman.
Exactly. Yeah, that's fine. And that's what you want.
Okay. And that plants the seed for Balor to fight Roman after SummerSlam.
And Seth Rollins.
Yeah. Exactly.
Right? And that's why I said I didn't mind Balor being there. I have no issues with that.
They could do Balor and Seth on SmackDown, big main event. Fight Roman.
Bro, I wanted Cena and Edge versus Roman and Seth Rollins. If you did that, that solidified SummerSlam right there. They didn't do it. You could have solidified. CM Punk just came back last night.
Yeah.
You could have had a big match right there on SmackDown, right there.
Yeah.
But I guess they didn't. I guess they didn't want to risk potential injury because it's the night before.
They did not have seen a fight at all, even including the live shows.
Which they didn't. Oh wait, well the live shows.
Exactly, yeah. Even including live shows. Yeah. So that doesn't mean shit. And that's what I said. And most importantly, with John Cena, I said John Cena should have done more in WWE to help Roman in terms of promos. I truly feel when I saw the and when I look back at the past two promos that they done each other, I was like, I expect more from John Cena.
They kind of didn't. They didn't really compare to.
Yeah, they didn't compare to like years ago.
Yeah, yeah. When Cena gave him that lashing.
Yeah, Cena exactly.
Lashing.
Exactly. Yeah. I was expecting that Cena
licking
in terms of promo, but I was like.
And I see Cena. People saying, people comparing the two, like, oh, this feud is, this current incarnation of the feud is so much better than 4 years ago, the build-up. I'm like,
are you kidding? In terms of build, what people need to understand, in terms of build, the build back at SummerSlam years ago was way better.
No Mercy.
It was No Mercy?
No Mercy.
I thought it was SummerSlam.
No.
All right, it was No Mercy, right? But the only difference is obviously Roman is more of a flesh flat out character, which is understandable why people are saying
so that. Name value alone.
Name this value time it's alone, bigger. Yeah. It's bigger.
Yeah.
But build wise,
it
was
4 years ago.
It was No Mercy 4 years ago. Now, all I'm saying is based on performance, now, we'll see. On how the match will be box office. Mm-hmm. All right? Especially to Cena. And I don't care what anybody says. You got on me. Kenny got on me. I don't care. Okay?
Drew Test for
Cena. Live show is one thing. Main event is another. Okay? I'm talking about one-on-one.
But do you doubt Cena?
I believe in when I see it on a one-on-one ring.
Are you doubting Cena?
I just told you I don't care. I doubted Cena on a one-on-one ring. Okay, I'm still on that. I'm the type of guy that I believe in when I see it. Okay. All right, I haven't seen him in an actual match since he came back. Yeah, live shows is one thing, but live shows is like here and there for like 10 minutes.
No,
I'm talking about like a 30 minute match. That's what I'm talking about. And he hasn't wrestled in 3 years.
I don't think they're gonna go 30 minutes, but
no.
They're gonna go 15, 20 minutes.
No, 15, 20. Bro, the amount of box office appeal that this had. That match has to be at least 30 minutes, especially since CM Punk came out last night.
No, I think the match would suffer if it was closer to 30 minutes.
I got a quick question. Can Roman actually wrestle 30?
Wait, what?
Can Roman wrestle a true 30 minutes?
No, he can't.
True
30 minutes. Are you fucking serious?
No, without having,
are you kidding me?
Without having the 10 minutes sleeps. Remember, he wrestled Braun, that Hell in a Cell with Braun, I believe.
Whose man is
that
this?
That was good. Well, that was a couple years ago.
Oh, is this your man?
But
is this your man's?
I have no idea. But I'm not claiming.
You're doubting Roman Reigns? Could last 30 minutes in a match?
I said 20. 20 would be great. 20 is awesome, man. 20 minutes, 20,
how
25.
How long was Reigns? Wait. I don't want to deviate too far away from the topic. How long did Reigns and Edge at Money in the Bank last month? I remember it was pretty long.
Yeah!
It was close to 30.
It was 20 something. Let me start there. It was like
25?
Yeah, that's 25.
So if
remember,
last 25 minutes. That's
5 minutes in the ring is still, that's a long time.
He didn't look gassed.
Exactly.
5 minutes.
I mean, again, 5 minutes isn't quick, but
you see, I have a legitimate case for Cena because he hasn't wrestled over 3 years. But you're doubting Roman?
I'm not doubting Roman.
Whatever.
All right, let's keep going.
Let's not stay too long.
Keep going.
We're all in agreement. Reigns is winning, right?
Yes.
Of course.
Okay. Great. So we feel Roman is winning. Against Cena at SummerSlam tonight, and those are our thoughts on everything SummerSlam TakeOver related the whole weekend. We gave you all. You're welcome. So we're going to close it off there. We talked about everything CM Punk, SummerSlam TakeOver, of course, this whole weekend, the future of NXT as well. Thank you all so much for listening. Episode 72 of Wrestling Hypothesis. We're going to sign off real quick. Take care, guys. Let's see what SummerSlam has for us.